everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? My name is Joe, and for those of you who don't know me, and so here we are almost a month into the new year, and so that means for many of us, we've abandoned our New Year's resolutions by now, and so we can just kind of get on with our lives. And for those of you who haven't, well, you know, hang in there. You're still young. But I think for most people, we almost feel pressure to do something new at the start of the year. Because this phrase, or a version of this phrase, be the best you, gets thrown out a lot, or live your best life. And usually I hear it from advertisers wanting to sell me something like this Peloton ad. And I don't know about you all, but usually when I hear that phrase, be the best version of you, I think, oh, you know, I want to be the best version of me. Maybe I should buy a Peloton bike, right? But I think for most people, we want to be a better version of ourselves. We believe that there is a better version of who we are. And so we think, you know, maybe if I lose some weight, then that will be the best me. Or maybe if I get a new job or save some money and get out of debt, maybe that will lead to the best me. Or if I get better at doing relationships, or this year if I really take some me time and really discover myself, that will be the path to the best me. However, I think it's like what it says in the ad, that we're chasing the best version of ourselves. But the thing is that we never really seem to catch up. It seems like we just keep chasing. It's never enough. Tom Brady, the quarterback of the New England Patriots, I heard something or saw something that he posted on Instagram about his retirement, and he said, "I still have something left to prove." And I thought, what in the HE double hockey sticks does Tom Brady still have left to prove, right? He's won like 6 Super Bowls. He's been the MVP of the NFL. He's got fame and fortune, a supermodel wife. He lives the life that most people couldn't even dream of, and yet he still isn't satisfied. He still feels like he has more to prove. He's still chasing a better life. And I think this quote that I heard from author Dallas Willard really sums up perfectly why oftentimes people feel like they can never catch up to their best life. And Dallas says that the hunger of the human heart that is unfed by what is authentic will go for what is inauthentic. The human heart that is unfed by what is authentic will go for what is inauthentic. And I think what he means is that oftentimes we want change in our lives. We want new life. We want to be better than what we are. We want a new way to identify ourselves. But oftentimes we go after inauthentic ways to get it. We go after substitution ways. You're not a new person just because you lose a little bit of weight. You're just skinnier. Right? We're not new people if we get a new job or save money or get out of debt. We just have more money. We're not new people because we do good at relationships or better at relationships or because we find ourselves and know more about ourselves. We just know more about ourselves. And you see, those things are only surface level things. They're inauthentic ways to get new life. They're inauthentic ways to get the best version of us. They're substitutions. Because even with all of those changes, well, you're still you. And I'm still me. And I think what we're really searching for, what we're really hungry for, what we really want is authentic life change. We want to be authentically new. And the only thing that makes us genuinely new people, the only thing that gives us a new identity, is the new life available to us through Jesus Christ. It's the only thing. It says in 2 Corinthians, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Jesus is the only way for us to get the best version of ourselves. You see, the real us, the authentic us, the people that we are always meant to be is found in Jesus. Our authentic identity is found in him. The best version of me looks like him. The best version of us is having our identities rooted and founded in Jesus. The best version of ourselves look like Jesus. But before I get too far, let's take a moment and pray. Let's ask God about this. So Lord, I pray this morning that you would help that to sink in. Lord, I pray that you would show us and let us experience this morning what your new life is all about. God, I pray that you would invite people into this new life this morning. I thank you, God, for who you are. I pray that you would put your power on this message. In Jesus' name, amen. And so the whole month, we've been doing a series titled You Say, and lead pastor Troy and associate pastor Pat have given some excellent messages about who God says we are, you know, that we're saints or that we're God's children. I would really encourage you guys to go to the website and listen to these messages. And this morning, I'm going to talk about how God says that we are new and how we can live it out. And you see, something that I took away from the messages that Troy and Pat gave this month is that what I believe about God and what I believe about who he says that I am will impact my life. You see, we will be living what we be believing. We will be living what we be believing. Okay? This is a universal truth. What we believe, show me your life, and I will tell you what you believe. Let me see your life, and I will tell you what you really believe. And there's so much truth to that. You see, what we really believe about who Jesus is and what we really believe about who he says we are really does impact our lives. Like if I say Jesus is a nobody, and I say he has nothing to say about my life, he has nothing to say about my identity, well then, I'm going to live my life out of that belief, right? I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm not going to listen to or sing worship songs. I'm going to find my identity in all kinds of other things. On the other hand, if I really believe that my identity is found in Jesus, then my life will reflect that belief if I actually believe it. Let's say I believe what it says in the verse I read earlier from 2 Corinthians, that God says that I am new. Let's say I really believe that I am a new creation, that the old Joe is gone. Then my life will reflect that belief, so others shouldn't recognize me by the way I used to live. Does anybody here recognize me as an alcoholic or a drug addict that listens to grunge music? Somebody shake their head no. Please. I'm not that guy. Does anybody see me here or identify me as being a liar, as somebody that doesn't tell the truth? And the reason why I ask that is because that's who I was. That's the old Joe. You guys wouldn't even recognize me the way that I used to live. But since I'm believing what I believe about my new life, I live out of my new identity in Jesus, which I would say most people recognize me by now, and not just because I'm a pastor. I've actually had people tell me after they find out that I'm a pastor, they're like, oh, that kind of makes sense. You know, I knew there was something different about you, and it, you know, maybe they mean it as an insult, like, you're a little different, buddy. I don't know, but I take it as a compliment. But when we're living what we believe about our new identities in Jesus, I think it will look like this in Ephesians 4:21. It says, when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. See, that's our identity. We were created to be like God. That's how we were created, to look like God. And you see where he's saying put off and put on? This is identity language. The language that he's using here, it's like putting on a jacket or a piece of clothing. And he's saying, take off that old life and put on your new life. It's, whoa.
All right, hey, there we go. All right,
so where was I? Okay, so this verse from Ephesians is really telling us that don't wear or live out of your old identities. Don't put that old identity on. That's how people used to recognize us. He's saying wear and live out of our new identities. He's like, it's like going to your closet and being like, well, what am I going to wear today? Oh, I'm going to put on this. I'm going to put on my new identity in Jesus. And you know, for some of us that have been Christ followers since we can remember, this whole concept of new life or having a new identity can really sometimes feel unrelatable, right? Maybe you didn't have a radical come to Jesus moment in your life, or when you did, you were like 5 years old, so you don't remember it. You don't feel like you have an old self. And I run into this often with youth students that I teach that have grown up in church their whole life, and they really don't feel like they have an old self. However, you do have an old self. You do have an old nature. In Galatians 5:17, it says, the sinful nature, this is our old nature. And again, Pat Street gave an excellent message about what this means, and so I would encourage you to go back and listen to that. But it says here, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit, which he's talking about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, gives us desires, gives us a new nature, gives us a new way of seeing the world, gives us a new way to think, but they're opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not always free to carry out your good intentions. And so even though you've been a Christian since you can remember, you see, the thing is being a Christian, being a Jesus follower, is a lifelong transformational process. It's 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, this is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed. We're becoming new. We're becoming more and more new every day. As we walk out of our new identities in Jesus, we're becoming more and more new every single day. We're becoming more and more like him. And so for everybody, it really comes down to when we truly believe that we're new people and our new identity, purpose, and destiny comes from who God says we are, the byproduct of that belief will be shown by the way that we live. It will be shown by the way we live our lives. And really, this concept of how believing we are new in Christ and then living it out is taught all throughout the New Testament in the Bible. Actually, this month, I knew I was going to be talking, and I knew that we were going to be doing a series on identity, and so I read through all of the New Testament letters, you know, like Ephesians and Philippians and 1 John. There's a list right there, and it didn't take me that long. It was like maybe 15, 20 minutes a day, but I really wanted to understand this concept of our new identity and how to live it out. And almost all of the letters that were written to the churches in the first century have both who we are in Christ, or our identities, and then how we're supposed to live out this new identity. Like Ephesians chapter 2, or Ephesians 2:10, it says, for you are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And then like by the end of the letter, it gives us instructions on how to live out our new identities. Ephesians 5:15-17, he says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools. That's good advice, right? Don't live like a fool, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. And I really could give you examples of this all throughout the New Testament and the Bible, but we would really be here all morning because, like, I'm not kidding, like, every letter has a this is who you are, this is how you live element to it. And I would encourage you, if you're really interested in finding out more of who God says you are and your new identity in Christ, just read through these letters. Read through the New Testament. It really didn't take me that long. Like I said, it was like 15 or 20 minutes tops a day. That's it. So I would encourage you to do that. But really what it comes down to is, how do us today, right now, be living what we believe about our new identity in Jesus? How do we do that? And I think it's important to understand that we can look different from the culture around us. We will handle money and possessions a little different. Our view of sex and relationships will be a little bit different than the culture around us. Our engagement with politics will be a little different than the culture around us. The way we spend our time will be different. And here's the thing, 70% of Americans would say that they're Christians. And really what that means mostly is that people are like, well, you know, I'm not a Muslim or I'm not a Buddhist or a Hindu, so I must be a Christian. But 70% of Americans would say they're Christians. The unfortunate thing is sometimes you can't really tell that by how we live our lives. You know, the rate of premarital sex and affairs are just as high in the Christian community as it is in the culture around us. Christians are just as ugly and hate-filled when it comes to politics as everybody else. Corruption and greed happens just as much with Christians as those who say they aren't. 70% of Americans may say that they're Christians, but I really wouldn't say that 70% of Americans have their identities rooted and founded in Jesus. You see, I think when we live out our new identities in Jesus, like many of us here in this room are doing, right? I see it in you guys. I see you living out of your new identity in Christ, and it's so encouraging. But I think as we live that out, our lives will look different from the culture around us, and not in a, you know, I'm better than you or I'm just morally superior than you sort of way, but just like in a different sort of way. Jesus says this in John 5:19. He says, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. I have chosen you out of the world. Or Philippians 3:20, it says, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ, we're citizens of, it's like we're not even from here. It's like we're present, we live here in this world, but we don't really identify with the same things that our culture does. It's like, have any of you guys ever been to another country? How many of you guys have been to another country? Okay, yeah, so for those of you who haven't, it's like, you're there, you're present, but oftentimes, you know, you don't speak the language, communicating is hard, the culture is different, people just live differently. I can remember the first time I went to Haiti, and as soon as I stepped off the plane, I was like, I ain't in Iowa anymore. It was complete culture shock. I mean, just the smell of the country, the roads were different, the everything, the landscape, the driving around. Oh boy, whew. Let me tell you, driving in Haiti is like a life-threatening experience. Like, there's no stop signs, there's no stoplights. The way that you get around is just by everybody just honks at each other and hopes the other person will move before you hit them, and then like every now and then you'll see a motorcycle coming down the road with like a family of like eight on it, you know, and every time mom's always on the back holding the baby. Like it's just such a trip. But the language was super different. Like, I don't speak Haitian Creole, and most Haitians don't speak English, so communicating is really hard. And I would do the thing where I would talk like slower and louder. Have you guys ever done this? And I don't know why, but I get this really weird, like, southern hillbilly-ish accent when I do. I don't know why, it just comes out. I try to talk and I'm like, do you speak English? Right? And they're like looking at me, and I don't know why we do that. It's not like they're gonna be all of a sudden like, oh, now I understand English because you're talking to me like I'm a moron and shouting at me. Oh, I get what you're trying to say. It's funny, but one thing that was really a new experience for me is my wife, Jess, and I, we were like the only white people around for days. It was amazing. I've never been in that experience before. And so we would leave the city or leave where we were staying and walk around the city, and people would just like stop what they're doing and stare at us, right? They would just stop and like, "You're not from around here, are you?" Right? And little kids would run up, and you know how little kids, they just say what they're thinking. Like they don't have the same kind of things that adults do. So they would just run up and they would be like, "Blah, blah," which means white, white. And they'd have like these really surprised expressions on their faces. And I would be like, I had to ask our guide, I was like, "Is this like derogatory? Like, should I be concerned about this?" And he's like, "No, just imagine if your everyday experience, you never see any white people, and then you woke up today not expecting to see white people, and then all of a sudden there's like a really white person in front of you." Like, I'm more on like the transparent side. I'm like super white, but it's shocking. It was shocking for them. And so that experience really gave me context for these verses that I read earlier about me being a citizen of heaven, or me not belonging to this world. I think as those children ran up to me and said, "Blom, blom," I think as we live out of our authentic identities in Jesus, we should have people looking at us and thinking, you know, like, there's something different about you, right? Like you're not from here, are you? It's like people should be pointing at us and being like, you know, Jesus. I see Jesus in you. That's what's different about you. I see Jesus in you. And you see, when we identify with Christ, we look different from our culture, but we still engage the culture around us, right? We don't shrink back. We don't hide. Jesus says that part of our new identities is to be the light of the world. He says in Matthew, "You are the light of the world. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." See, if we live out of our new identities, we can show the people around us who they can be also. It's like a win-win, right? We live out our new identities, and other people can see who they're authentically supposed to be. And that leads us to, when our identities are found in Jesus and we live out of those identities, we live in love. We live in love. There's no greater identity marker for a Christian than love. Nothing greater than that. John 13:35, Jesus says, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples, will prove to the world that you are my followers." And Colossians 3:14, it says, "Above all, clothe yourselves with love." Clothe yourselves with love. You see, listen to the language here. Clothe yourselves. Again, clothing is an identity marker. Oftentimes people recognize us by our style or by what we wear, and I can tell you there isn't anything more stylish than wearing love. So when we love, we look like Jesus. You see, God himself is love. God himself is love. 1 John 4:7, it says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Let's say that together. God is love, and Jesus is God. So Jesus is love. So if Jesus is love, and the best version of us looks like Jesus, then we look like love. We look like love. And really, how our culture needs to hear this, how our world needs to hear this, how our country needs to hear this, our culture is just so confused about what love is. Most people think that love is just a feeling, or that it has mostly to do with sex. That's not what love is. Love is not a feeling. Love is it's an action. It's a choice. Like it says in 13 Corinthians, which is like the greatest thing written about love ever. Look at the language. All of those things are actions. They're not feelings. They're choices. They're actions that lead to choices. Look, look, love is a choice. It's a choice to be patient and kind. It's a choice to not be easily angered. It's a choice not to give up. Those are things that we choose to do. You see, when we choose love, we choose to look like Jesus. When we choose love, we choose to look like Jesus, which brings me to my last point. We choose our identities. Let me say that again. We choose our identities. We choose to live out of our new lives in Christ. Just like that verse in Ephesians says that I read earlier, he says to put off your old self and put on the new self. Put off your old, you choose to take that old self off. You choose not to identify with that anymore. It's a choice. Just like you go to your closet, you went to your closet this morning and chose what to wear, you can choose to look like your old self. It's a choice. Or you can choose to put on your new identity that looks like Jesus. You can choose to do that. You see, every day we have a choice. And God doesn't force us to make this choice. You see, if God is love, love does not force itself on anyone. Right? Like love is not forceful. Love is kind. It's patient. It's not easily angered. It does not boast. It's not proud or rude. It doesn't force itself on anyone. God doesn't make us do this. He lets us choose because he loves us. We get to say, we have to surrender. And whether we surrender to God or not, we're going to surrender to something. We're going to choose an identity, whether it's in Jesus or not. We do it all the time. People do it all the time. We live all kinds of different lives, and we try on all these different kinds of identities throughout our life. We choose what to surrender to. And so we can choose to surrender to God, and all that looks like is just saying, you know, God, I choose you today, Lord. I choose you right now. God, I want to look like you. I want to wear the new identity that you gave me. I want to be more like you, God. Lord, I choose you. God, you say that I'm new, and I choose that, God. I choose to put aside my old way, my old self, and I choose you today. It's an everyday choice. Following Jesus, guys, is really a lifelong process, and it's like left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. It's one choice at a time, one step at a time. Every time we choose to look like God, we choose to look like love, we choose to look like Jesus. It's a choice. And so I want to ask you, let's bring it close to home now. Who are you going to choose to be when you walk out of these doors today? Who are you going to choose to be as you walk out of the doors today, as you go about your weeks, as you walk into grocery stores, as you go home and interact with your family? What identity are you going to wear? Are you going to put on your old self? Or are you going to clothe yourself and the new self that looks like Jesus? We always have that choice. And so, you know, we have a little bit of time this morning. I'm going to have the worship team come up and play a little bit of soft music in the background. But, you know, everything that I said, you know, it doesn't really make a whole lot of difference unless we experience this new life that God has to offer, unless we have an experience with God. It doesn't do any good reciting verses like I'm new in Christ and put off the old self and put on the new self unless we experience those verses. The power is not necessarily in the words themselves. The power is in the experience of God, having a true encounter with him. And you know, if you're new and you're not, you know, don't freak out. We're not going to do anything weird. Okay, I mean, it might get a little weird, I don't know, but I'm not going to try it on purpose, okay? But what I want right now is I want for us, if you're willing, to just kind of close your eyes. Just close your eyes. And think over, let's say, recently, like the past week. Like last week, what areas of your life were you really living out of your old self? Like, were those social media posts that you put out on Instagram and Snapchat, did those reflect the old you? Your old way of life? Or did they reflect your new self? Did your interactions with your family or your friends or your coworkers or the cashier at the grocery store or wherever you went this week, did it reflect your old life? Or did it reflect your new self? And just get with God. And so, Lord, I pray right now that you would show us. You would show us the areas of our life that we're living that old, dead, worn-out life. Those areas in our life that we just get in a cycle and we keep going back to. And it's like we're on a hamster wheel, Lord, and it's like we can never catch up. We just keep falling back and falling back, and it's constant, Lord. Just allow yourself to be honest with yourself in this moment and to be honest with God. And the thing is that God's not mad at you. He's not upset with you. He's not angry with you. You're God's beloved children. God loves you. He wants to show us these things so that we can live our best life, so we can live the best version of us. So just as you're sitting there thinking, I'm just gonna, you know, I'm really kind of a faith in action guy. You know, when I was a little kid, there was a saying that used to go around, don't talk about it, be about it. And I just want to say, if like God is offering right now for all of us, a fresh start, a new beginning, a new chance, a new way to see the world, a new life. And I just want to ask you, if you want that, no matter where you're at, no matter if you've been a Christian or not your whole life, if you want to stop living the way that, you know, that's not even working. It's a lot of the ways that we live, it doesn't even work. It's old, it's tired. And if you're just wanting something else, you want something new, I just ask, just Take a leap of faith and just stand up. Sometime God interacts with us. If you want that, I just ask you to stand. Just stand now. Just stand up. If you want to be and begin and maybe restart to live out of this new life, I just ask you to stand and open yourself up to God. Just take that leap. Take that faith. If you can't stand, that's fine. If you don't stand, nobody's judging, right? So I ask to just take one step further. Just put your hands out in front of you if you can. And begin and get ready to receive God. Receive the experience that God wants to give to us. And so, Lord, I just thank you so much for those who are taking a step of faith. And even those who are still in their seats, God, I know that you love us. Ridiculously love us, God. Incredibly love us, Lord. And so I pray, God, that you would help us on this journey of a new life, that you would help us on this journey of knowing you more, of living out of our new identity, of living the way that you know what's best for us, God. And so I pray, God, that you would come right now, God, and that we could experience your presence. God, let us experience your presence. Let us experience you in this moment right now, Lord.